Amen. It's good to see. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
This is close as some of you ever going to get to heaven. You better enjoy it today. Amen. But that's not true of most of you. How many of you are going to go to heaven? You know you're going to go to heaven. Say amen. Praise the Lord. And as beautiful as this is, it's nothing eye hath not seen, ear not heard, neither in the heart of man, things that God prepared for them who love him. And thank the Lord for that. Thank you, choir, for good singing. I'm going to tell you one thing. Those men, ladies, you did a great job. The men helped y'all sound really good today. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you all for all the good singing today. And Miss Kay, thank you for that. If you want to open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll look at a passage of Scripture there in just a moment. I guess the thought of Judgment House, the Lord laid on my heart, and I was thinking about that subject. And look in 1 Peter chapter 4 once again, and I'm going to just read two verses. Verse 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you now for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, our Father, will speak to my heart and the heart of all these here gathered. God, thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and Kay this morning. Thank you, our Father, for a great Bible study hour and all the gifted teachers that you've given to us here at Benson Grove. And I pray now, God, that you'd make us aware, our Father, of some things this morning that would speak to our heart. And God, I pray, God, you'd help me. Give me your anointing, and I'll thank you and praise you. God, I pray that every saint, Lord, that you'll do a work in our heart, every person who's saved. And our Father, every person who's lost in the sound of my voice here in this building, or in the radio audience or internet audience, I pray, God, that, Lord, you speak to their heart in regard to judgment. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we've been involved for several years now in Judgment House. And way back when Brother Tim and Wendy first began the ministry, we talked about it. And it was just a matter of a few months before they were able to start. And we just felt like maybe the Lord would have us to do it. And I said, "Do you think you can do it this quickly?" And they did. Boy, what an awesome thing it's been. I think last year we had somewhere close to 1,500 people to go through Judgment House. And yet, you know, across the nation, there's a lot of talk about love and loving one another. I preached last week on the shepherd on both services last Sunday. I preached a few weeks ago on God loving us and us loving the Lord. And that's a great truth. But the Bible said the Holy Spirit of God, when he was coming to the world, he would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you don't hear very much anymore about judgment. It's a fearful thing. It's something that makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about it. Yet the Bible says that God is the judge of the whole world. The whole world. He will judge everything. Matter of fact, I was looking through the Bible this week and picking out just some verses, and it says this in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. "For God shall bring every word into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." I mean, that's a thorough in a judgment. If he's going to judge every thought, every deed, and everything, and bring it all, whether it was good or evil, into judgment. What an awesome thing when we think about what the Word of God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6, it said, "Every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. He is the judge of the whole earth." Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, "He is the judge of the whole earth." In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, it says, "He will judge the quick," that means the living, "and the dead." He's the judge of all of that. It tells something about our accountability to holy God. So many people don't even want to acknowledge the existence of God. He said in the book of Romans, they didn't even want to retain the knowledge of God in their minds. They didn't want to think there's a God. We don't want to think there's a God, because if you realize there's a God, not only do you realize he's a creator, but we have an accountability to him. And everybody in this building, everybody in the sound of my voice, has an accountability to God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. How many of you believe people die? Raise your hand. That's a Bible fact. People die. Across the roads of cemeteries, the silent testimony that the Word of God is true. The wages of sin is death. Now, when you get saved by the grace of God, you pass from death to life. And so when you leave this body, we say mama died. We say Miss Sylvia Parker's mother died. But the Bible said this, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And my dear friend, when your loved one is saved and your husband saved, your wife saved, your child saved, their heart may be quit beating. There may be no active brain waves. But if I believe the Bible and I do, and you believe the Bible and you say you do, then the Bible said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What does that mean? It means absent from the body, present with the Lord. They never tasted death. He tasted death for all of us. But my dear friend, when you die as a Christian, or your loved one dies as a Christian, we have to call it something, so we call it death. But Paul described it like this. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Now, departure means you're going somewhere, amen? You go down here to the airport or down at Raleigh and RDU, you go in, there's a big board up, and it says departures and arrivals, departures and arrivals. And my dear friend, listen, when a saved person leaves, it's a departure. They're leaving out of this world, going to be where there's endless joy and bliss for all eternity. And thank God for that. But just as sure as death's coming, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Judgment's an awesome thing. Matter of fact, you remember when the Apostle Paul was preaching to a man by the name of Felix one time, and the Bible said he reasoned with Felix concerning temperance and judgment, and the Bible said, and Felix trembled. And my dear friend, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to deal with men and women, boys and girls, about the reality of judgment. We're going to face judgment one of these days, every person individually. You can't say we're going as a family, or we're going to go as a church group, or you're going to have to be in facing the crowd. The Bible says that we all have to come to judgment one of these days before Him. I want to just deal with three aspects of judgment this morning that you and I ought to have something to say about. I did a little research on the word judgment. It's used several times in the Bible, several different ways. And we always think about judgment as being like the execution of a punishment, like the judgment of God falling on Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? And when the Bible said that when Lot was delivered and God sent the angel to deliver Lot out, the judgment of God fell. And fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed the whole crowd. But you know what the Lord said in Matthew? He said, Sodom and Gomorrah will rise up in judgment against us, because if the things done for them that were done in the day he was living, they would have repented. And the thought of judgment is something that should cause us to be convicted, because the Holy Spirit of God has come to convict the world of sin, righteousness. But that conviction should bring a response, and that response should be repentance and reconciliation, making things right. And so with that in line, when you look at the word judgment, it means the ability sometimes to consider all the facts and make a decision. A judge will listen to the evidence, and then he will render a judgment. And you and I need to understand that judgment is not always the execution of that sentence, but it is a process of judgment. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you've been with us on Sunday evenings when we do the Lord's Supper, I quite often read this passage of Scripture. And I want to call your attention in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The first judgment I want to emphasize to you this morning is self-judgment. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul said we ought to judge ourselves. Now, let me explain something to you. That is not self-condemnation. That's not beating yourself down all the time. Say, I'm the sorriest Christian in the world. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't do enough for God. And you just beat yourself down. That's not what that judgment's all about at all. Everything that God has intended for me and you in this Bible is for our good and His glory. And so what it means is this. When He said we're to judge ourselves, it means that we're to take inventory. It means we're to consider the facts. I mean, honestly, look at the facts. Judge ourselves. Up at the State Fair. Some of you got to go to State Fair. I like to go in and look at all the wild, the livestock and everything. I didn't get a chance to go in and see much of it this year. But they have judging. They start, they do goats and sheep and pigs and cows and all that. And they have FFA and different ones and, children's division and adult division. And they judge and they look at those animals and they judge them by some criteria. That's what they're doing is they are critically judging them, looking at them to see the facts about them. Their height, their weight, their girth, all those things. Whatever it is about them, they consider those. Now, when he said I'm to judge myself, it does not mean I am to condemn myself. The Bible said there's therefore no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus. And he said, if God be for us, who could be against us? And if God is for us, we certainly shouldn't be against ourselves. So that's not what it means at all. It doesn't mean to be critical of yourself. It means to examine yourself. He said in another passage of scriptures that we are to examine ourselves to see whether we have been faith. Here's the judgment I'm talking about. I'm talking about self-judgment. That is to look at the facts and to make a judgment, to render a decision. Webster says this, it is the ability to consider facts and to render an opinion or decision. It has to do with an estimate or estimation, and it is the ability to come to an opinion. What it means is this, it means that when I look at my life and I honestly examine my life and I judge my life, where am I at? Where am I at? Where do I stand spiritually with the Lord? And he said this, it is not an option. He said we should judge ourselves, examine ourselves to see whether or not we'd be in the faith. It's a good thing for everybody in this building this morning not to depend on me to tell you you're going to heaven, not to depend on your family, your wife, your husband, anybody else to say you're a good person, you're a good man, you're a good woman. But my dear friend, you need to decide, look at the facts and decide for yourself, am I going to go to heaven? You base it on good works, you're not going to go. If you base it on your past performances, that's no guarantee. You look at yourself and judge yourself in regard to salvation. And understand whether or not you've been born again by the grace of God. These things have are written in you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know that. Do you know you're saved? Do you know that? I mean, you're talking about life and death. You're talking about it's appointed a man wants to die and after that the judgment. Now, are you saved? And you ought to consider that. You ought to consider the facts and decide according to the facts. Are you saved? Are you saved? Not how you feel, but according to the facts, are you saved? How do you get saved? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes in us crying, Abba, Father. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born from above. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes in you crying, Abba, Father. And Peter said, we become partakers of a divine nature. And with a divine nature, we are called now the sons of God. Is that reality in your life? If you were to honestly sit down and describe yourself, I just went through some physical therapy and they had this long list of stuff on the computer that I had to go through and a scale of 1 to 10, you know, and how's this and that. So on all these questions I had to go through and I was diagnosing myself. Like now they had prescribed a treatment and therapy and saw based on what I said. But I want to ask you, have you ever examined yourself? Have you ever judged yourself? And it's now, he said, it's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. Right here today, right now, are you a Christian? How about in regard to your service, steward? I read a verse that just really got a hold of my heart in Luke chapter 12. And he said, that servant who knew the master's will and did not do it shall be beaten with many stripes. And that's in a parable the Lord was giving, but he was challenging those who said they were his disciples to be obedient. To know to do good and to do it not is sin. What about you? What about you? This sister Audrey handed me something a while ago, and she said, felt like the Lord wanted me to have it, and she saw it, she thought about me. You know what? What about your service? And here's what it says. It just said that she saw this, and this man made this statement. It was actually on a country music show. And it said, the devil does not care if you go to church or listen to the preaching or pray, just so long as you don't apply it to your life. Boy, isn't that good? And if we judge ourselves, let's judge ourselves in regard to service. Going to church, listening to the preacher, maybe praying, but we don't apply the Word of God in our life. I plead with you to get in the Word, to get in the Word. But the truth of the matter is the Word needs to get in us, doesn't it? It needs to get in us, and it needs to be lived out. Now, how do you measure up in regard to the judgment of God, in regard to your service? How about your stewardship? How about, the Bible said that everything we have came from God, it all belongs to Him. And how about us being a good steward of what He's given you and trusted to you? Do you use what He's given you in regard to your talent and your time and your tithe for Him? Wait a minute. He said in this, I read to you, in regard to self-judgment, He said, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's a big if, isn't it? If I examine myself, honestly evaluate the facts and come to a decision, then I wouldn't be judged. If I would look at my life in regard to service and honestly, you know, consider the facts, come to an opinion, that I would not be judged. If I look at my life in regard to stewardship and taking good care of what He's given me, or using what He's given me, or returning back to Him the portion that belongs to Him in my tithes and offering, that He would not judge me. But He said, if we do those things, we would not be judged. But then He goes on and He said, if we're judged of the Lord, we're chastened. Now, it's not an idea of if judgment's going to happen or not. It's a matter of who's going to be doing it. I mean, do you want Him to look at your life and then judge you according to that? Or would you want to go ahead as a Christian who has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you and judge yourself in regard to salvation? If you're not saved, get saved. In regard to service, if you don't measure up. And it's not self-criticism. It's not self-condemnation. It is an honest evaluation of where you are, and then a response to that, make a decision. If I'm not doing this, I need to do it. And listen, do you want Him to have to deal with you about it? It's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. God, listen, in regard to our attendance at the house of God, He said, if we sin willfully, He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more you see the day approaching. And then the next verse says this, if we sin willfully, there's a certain fearful looking for judgment. Wow. He said, if we sin willfully, that means if we know we ought to do something and we don't do it, then judgment's coming. It's a matter of whether we're going to consider the facts, judge ourselves, and then respond appropriately to what we decide and see, or whether we're going to let God do it. And He said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And he said, there's a fearful looking if we sin willfully. That is, if we know we're not doing right and we keep on doing it, God's going to chasten us. It's going to come. He's going to deal with us about it. There is self-judgment. But then I want to show you something else this morning. Look over in your Bible, please, if you will, in the Gospel of John chapter 12. Go back to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, in regard to judgment, the Holy Spirit of God came to judge, to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And in chapter number 12, look at verse 48. And he that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Not only is there self-judgment, but there is scriptural judgment. You see, because I have some thoughts and I have some opinions, and you have some thoughts and you have some opinions, and some people think this is right and that's right and this is wrong, and there's certain groups that believe it's okay to do this and it's not okay to do that, and some it's okay to do this and some think it's all right to do anything. But do you know what? It's not based on what the Baptists believe. It's not based on what the Methodists believe or the Assembly of God or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness, anything else. He said, there's one thing that will judge you in that last day. It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And so the basis of our judgment is a scriptural judgment, and it's based on the Word of God. What's the Bible say? And you say, well, Brother Billy, there's a lot of different ways to interpret it. Well, now that sounds pretty good. And it kind of like, you know, you kind of deflect away criticism, deflect away judgment. But the reality remains that he said that the words that I've spoken, they will judge you in the last day. And so it's not really how I interpret it, nor how you interpret it, but it's how he interprets that makes a difference. And if I were you and I knew that there was a coming a day that I'd have to give an account to him and I'd stand in judgment based on the Word of God, then I certainly would want to know what the Bible said. I'd certainly want to know what the Word of God says. Not what Brother Billy said, not what anybody else said, but what does the Bible say? I'll stand before God and I'll answer to him for the words of this Bible, his words. This is his word. And you'll be judged according to what's in that Bible. You ought to just ask God to help you to read it and study it and go through it and look at it and to do those things. Listen, he said, let your light shine. He said that they might see your good works and glorify your Father. Do you know what good works are? I mean, if you're going to have to give an account for good works, do you have any idea what they are? Not what I say, not what anybody else says, but what does the Bible say about what good works are? If you're going to have to give an account for it, you really ought to know what it is. You say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, here's a whole book full of it right here. Just ask God, the Holy Spirit of God, to help you. Because the judgment is not based on what we, our statement of faith, and I believe our statement of faith that we post on the internet and in our Constitution, I believe it's biblical. There are biblical references for every bit of it there, and I believe every bit of it. But I'm going to just be honest with you. When you stand before the Lord, he's not going to hold up the bylaws or the Constitution of Benson Grove Baptist Church. It's going to be the pure Word of God. That's what you'll have to answer to. And the judgment's based on the Bible. Based on the Bible. Well, I feel like this, and I believe this, and so on. I used to believe this, now I believe that. But listen, according to the Lord, there's a scriptural judgment coming, and it's based on the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? And he said in the last days, it'll be a scriptural judgment based on the Word of God. You may believe there's 100 different ways to go to heaven, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said there's one God, one mediator between God and man, that is the man Christ Jesus. There's only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus. That's the only way. That's what the Bible said. Now, you can believe the Bible, or you can believe what you want to be, or what you want, but when you stand before God, he's not going to try to take a pool of what everybody believes. He's not going to have a Baptist group and a Methodist group and all those other groups. Only one criteria is the Word of God. What's the Bible say? My dear friend, judgment is based on the Word of God. And then I'd suggest to you this morning, not only should we consider self-judgment, judgment must begin at the house of God, but it has to be a scriptural judgment. And then lastly, I'd say this to you, it is the Savior's judgment. You have your Bible open to the Gospel of John, perhaps. Go back to chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, let me show you something. And it said this. In chapter number 5, verse number 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. How about that? All judgments committed unto the Son. Turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, let me show you something. In Acts chapter 17, here is a statement that given under the inspiration of God in a message that's being preached in the New Testament age, but it's for us as well. In chapter number 17, look at verse number 31. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, watch, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. He said that all judgment in the last days, and there's a day appointed of that judgment. It's going to be based and it's going to be taken care of by the one who's been appointed to do that. Who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In regard to believers, in Romans chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's self-judgment. We ought to judge ourselves. It's based on the Scripture, the Scripture judgment. But there's the Savior's judgment. In our economy, in our legal system, if you're familiar with the court system, and some of you may be more familiar and you won't admit to what goes on in the court, but there are certain judges. I have heard people talking about a lawyer. They had a particular lawyer retained to help them, and they said, we're trying to keep putting off the trial because we want a certain judge. We know how he's going to rule. Or there's that people are saying, I certainly hope you get so-and-so because they will be a little lenient here, a little lenient there, and everything else. And you can kind of pick and choose. And if you know how to play the system, you can pick out the judge that would be more likely to give you a favorable judgment. But can I say to you, in the judgment in that day, when he's appointed that day, there's just one. I mean, you can't pick and choose. You have to stand before him. And in regard to the lost people, the Bible says that they'll appear at the white throne judgment. And he said this, there's coming a day that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a Savior's judgment. Understand this. There's only one person you're going to have to give an account to. Not me, not your husband, not your wife, not anybody else. But one of these days you'll have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. The simplest thing is this. What did you do about salvation? You know, when they had Christ and they'd beaten him and Pilate stands and he said, what should I do with Jesus? They said, crucify him, crucify him. What will you do with Jesus? And when you stand before him and you have made excuse after excuse or you tried some other way to get to heaven and he shed his blood for you, he died for you, he bore your own sins in his body on the tree and he died that you might be saved, that you might have everlasting life, what would you even think about when you stand before him and say, Lord, I know that you suffered. I know that you bled. I know that you died. But I felt like if I'd get baptized, I could go. I felt like if I did good deeds, I could go. And I just felt like that was the way to do it. I tried to do the best I could. But the truth of the matter is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so the judgment of our Savior in regard to salvation is this. He's the only way. He's the only way. You know what? The Bible says that you and I, whatever we do in word or deed, ought to do it all for the glory of God. And in regard to our service, when we stand there before him, he'll consider our motives. And what was our motive for doing what we did? Was it for his honor, for his glory? Why did we do what we do? You have to stand before him and give an account for everything in your life. The Bible said for everything done in our body, whether it was good or bad, that judgment's coming. That judgment's coming. You say, Brother Billy, what should we do? As believers, he said it in the text I read to you. If we judge ourselves, we'd not have to stand in judgment. Now, please understand this. It doesn't mean that it's appointed man wants to die and after that, the judgment, that is to decide whether you're going to heaven or not. That's a done deal before you die. The only way you can go to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ now. If you're saved now, you go to heaven. But you'll still have to stand before the judgment of Christ. If you're lost now, you go to hell. But you still have to stand before the white throne judgment. Why? Why would God even bring it? If decision is made here in this world, whether you're saved or not, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. Why is there a judgment? Because of our influence, because of God's investment in our life, and because of what we did for his glory. You see, every person here, and I thank the Lord for we pick out some time, Terry and Perry and Gary and them, and how Ailey's and them and GP prayed so much for them, and they got saved afterwards. We all, living in real time, we see the evidence of their life and of their prayers and the answer of these boys being saved. But down the road, way back 100 years ago, there was somebody else. One of the things that I saw in the Billy Graham thing, and I've seen it several times, is there is a list of the encounters of people and their salvation experience. And it started way back many years ago. And with somebody who got saved, and then they led somebody else to the Lord and somebody else to the Lord. And D.L. Moody's in that, and Dr. Talmage is in that, and several of them. Mordecai Ham is in that. Mordecai Ham's one who's preaching when Billy Graham got saved. But anyhow, it ends up with Billy Graham. But the truth of the matter is, there was a shoe salesman named Edward Kimball that led D.L. Moody to the Lord, and that started the event. A Sunday school teacher. And all those great preachers through all the ages that got saved and ended up being used of God, and Billy Graham preached to more people than any human being ever living in real life. And it all started several generations back with a shoe salesman who led a man to the Lord. Now, when he stands before the Lord and the facts are considered about his life and about the stewardship of his responsibility and his gifts, that he was faithful to the Word of God, he was faithful to Sunday school, he was faithful to witness, and he was faithful. And then all the dividends have been paid over that all the year. You look at all the, we look at it and we walk out and we say, wow, how God used Billy Graham. But did you know there were some people who invested in generations past? And if I understand the Word of God correctly, they're drawing dividends off of all of that. And it goes all the way back to a Sunday school teacher who led a fellow to the Lord, and then somebody else got saved, and somebody else got saved, and somebody else got saved. And you think about it. You say, my little life doesn't count. But we're not rendering a good judgment. We've not considered the consequences or the results of it. We ought to judge ourselves. Understand that your life, you may live to be 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years old, and then you're dying, you'll be off the scene. But the seed you've sown, the life you've lived, it'll reap results for generation after generation after generation after generation. And when you stand at the judgment seat, it's not just that little capsule you call your life that counts. It's all your influence through all of the rest of time before Jesus came. Same thing's true of a lost man or woman. You say, well, I can do my own thing. I'm not going to hurt nobody but myself. I wish you'd talk with children that I've talked to sometime. Teenagers I talk to sometime about what moms and dads have done and how it has made horrible impressions on those kids and how it's affected those kids for generations to come and how there has been abuse and all those things down through ages because of wickedness in days gone by. Listen, judgment. When you consider judgment, you need to consider not just that God's going to judge you and give you a sentence, but you need to honestly evaluate your life. It's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. That is, what are we really doing? Are you really right with God? That judgment has to be based on the Word of God and on the reality that you'll have to face God one day. When Paul preached on judgment, Felix trembled because the reality that he was accountable to a holy God, that the Bible says that he was created for the pleasure of God and he lived his life to fulfill his own fleshly desires and not to honor God in any of it, that he was accountable to God. My dear friend, judgment's real and judgment is coming, and it's time for judgment to come to the house of God. And he said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, that means just if we get saved just by the skin of our teeth, what about people who've rejected the Word of God? And all of that. My dear friend, listen, judgment's coming. They don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, I was reading a passage of scripture when I was doing research on this message and studying, and when the Lord spoke to them about judgment, and then Paul was preaching another place, when they assaulted the Lord when he preached on judgment. When Paul preached on judgment, the Bible said they took up stones would kill him because they were held accountable that they'd have to face the judgment. And we'll have to face it. But if we judge ourselves, the Bible said, now's a good time to do that, right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Listen, I want you just for just a moment to honestly, one aspect of judgment is to be able to consider the facts and render an opinion or a sentence. It's called a judgment. That is to consider all the facts and then come to a conclusion. Number one, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you start off by saying, I feel like I'm saved, that's not a good thing. If you start off by saying, I know I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Because I know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, Lord. I've trusted Him, not depending on myself, not depending on my good deeds. I know that I'm going to heaven because I trust Him 100% that what He did for me, and I trust Him as my Savior and Lord, I know I'm saved. Not how I feel. Some days you may not even feel saved. But the facts, to consider the facts and render an opinion. How do you measure up according to the Word of God? Don't compare yourself among other people. Don't compare yourself to your neighbor, your husband, your wife, anybody else, or fellow church member, or preacher, or deacon. How do you measure up according to the Word of God? Because it's the Word of God that He said will judge us in that day. And then lastly, take all of your reasoning, all your thoughts, and walk into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ now. Are you willing to meet Him in the judgment? Know that He knows your every thought, your intent of your heart, knows all about it. If not, what must we do? He said if Sodom and Gomorrah had had all the things done in them that were done in the days of our Lord, He said they would have repented. So I think the first step, if we realize there's a problem, that we repent. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, to repent means to acknowledge it and then turn from it and then begin to do what's right. That's the full circle of repentance. Repent and do the right thing. Do what God would have you to do. Come clean before the Lord. If you are here today and you or in the radio audience and you honestly considered it, I heard Dr. R.G. Lee one time and he preached a message on how an honest man will never go to hell. An honest man. That's not measured by society, it's not measured by that person, but it's a person that's 100% honest. If he'd ever be honest, he'd go to heaven because he would acknowledge the fact that he was a sinner. And I wonder this morning, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? How about the Word of God and measuring up the Word of God? I don't mean self-condemnation. I don't mean beating yourself down over it. I don't mean just critical analysis, but I'm talking about considering the facts and render a judgment and opinion and then make it right. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to judge ourselves and then respond to that judgment rightly and do what's right. He doesn't want us to do it just so we'd be down all the time, but to get right and love Him. Man, listen, if you get everything out, money, get everything under the blood, know that you're right with the Lord, nothing between you and the Savior, the natural result of that is the fullness and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's joy unspeakable, and to know that everything's right between you and the Lord. Judgment must begin at the house of God. How do you stand before Him in light of His Word? How do you stand? Judge yourself this morning that you'd be not judged. Our Heavenly Father, I pray right now that the sweet Holy Ghost of God will do in my life and the life of all these who are here, Lord, what You do. That is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God, I pray the reality of that will sink deep into our hearts. Our Father, we'll be aware of the fact that our Father, that Lord, it's an ongoing thing, it's a daily thing to consider our lives, to make judgments in regard to our life and then to have a correct response to that judgment. Not to continue on in our failures, not to continue on in our sin, but Lord, to just come to the place where we acknowledge it, we judge it, and we forsake it and confess it. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that's possible. That's what You want us to do. You said if we do that, we would not be judged. God, I pray, God, You'd help us to do that. Lord, for our dear friends who may not be saved, I pray, God, right now, God, if they're not saved, they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed this morning with the layout for Judgment House, I know that it's a little bit awkward. And I want to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and God's Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. He came to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if this morning, God, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart in some regard to your life, first of all, in regard to salvation, if you'd say to me, Brother Billy, I've never been saved. If I die, if I honestly consider where I'm at and evaluate it and make a judgment, I'd have to say, I'm not saved. I don't have any confidence. I don't know that I've ever been born again by the grace of God. I don't know I'd go to heaven. And preacher, will you please pray for me? I want to do that. No one's looking at every head's bowed. Would you raise your hand across this congregation? Men and women, boys and girls, say, preacher, pray for me. I've sat here and the Holy Ghost of God's helped me. I've made an honest evaluation. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I want to. And preacher, would you pray for me? I'm looking. Would you raise your hand across the building? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? You will not have to answer to me. You won't have to answer to any kind of creed. You'll have to answer according to the Word of God. You have to answer to the Lord Himself in that day. Do you know that you're saved? How many of you are Christians this morning? And you say, Brother Billy, this morning the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I do want to examine myself. I do want to be honest. I don't want anything between my soul and the Savior. I want to judge myself, not to just be condemning of yourself or to give yourself some sort of inferiority complex, but it's to be honest before God, and where there's a problem, you make a decision and say, God, you got to deliver me from this. You got to help me. And Lord, forgive me. You say, Brother Billy, God did speak to my heart. Would you pray for me? I'm a Christian, but I want to be right with God. I want to be able to judge myself. Would you raise your hand this morning across the congregation? God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray right now that God's Holy Spirit, God, will speak to hearts again. God, I didn't see a hand that said they were lost. Lord, it sure be a blessing if the rapture occurred right now and that every boy and girl, every man and woman would leave out of here. Lord, I pray, God, if they're not saved, that God, you'd bring conviction, convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that they might be saved. And Lord, there were many friends who raised their hand as I did. Lord, they want to be honest with you. They want to do an honest evaluation. They want to judge their lives honestly according to the Word of God. And God, where I don't measure up and where I'm not what I ought to be as a Christian or as a pastor or as a husband, I pray, God, that I could live according to the Word of God. Show me your truth. Holy Spirit of God not only came to convict, but He also came to guide us into all truth. And Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit of God to show them the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, that we'll live according to the Word of God now. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. While we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to just say to you, it's a little bit difficult to get up here. We're going to have a prayer of dedication, a moment for the workers for the judgment house. But for you who are here and God spoke to your heart, I'm going to ask Brother Brad, if you will, if you'll sing one verse of a song. And I don't know, right where you are, if you want to come and get around to the end of the platform or in the front here, if you need to, have somebody pray with you, we'll meet with you. But I just want you to have this few moments to consider yourself, examine yourself, and God speak to your heart. Many of you raised your hand. Right now, do that. Just ask Him to purge and forgive you and restore you, and that you live a life of obedience.